university life can be a bit of a maze, right? Don't worry. Campus Chronicles is here to be your guide. It's your go-to spot for tackling the big questions, sharing a laugh, and everything else that comes with navigating campus life. Think of it as the resource and the sounding board that I wish I had back in my uni days. And I am so excited to share it with you. My goal is to leave you feeling inspired, energized, and ready to chase after your boldest dreams. Let's jump in. Hello, hello, everyone. I am so excited to introduce you to the wonderful woman that we have today. Her name is Dawn Earhart Witte, and she is a speaker, an author, and a humanitarian who has a deep desire to make the world a better place. Dawn, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Brooke. It's an honor to be here.
I'm so excited to have you for so many reasons, particularly the last part of that statement about making the world a better place, because similarly to you, that is a huge passion of mine. But before we get into it, give us your origin story. Who is Dawn?
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I was married for almost 30 years. I raised my daughters. I was a stay-at-home mom. I volunteered for everything, PTA president, National Charity League president. You know, I did a lot of volunteering. And when my daughters went to college, I really had to look at me and say, well, now my identity was being their mom. So now that they don't need me to mommy them anymore, what do I do? And what are my next steps? And so I started writing, and that came from the love of my daughters. You know, that's where it initially started. And then I went to Africa, and I just I fell in love with the people there. And it made me so much more profoundly grateful about all the blessings that I have in my life. And then I saw a need there, you know, a need for, you know, basic, you know, necessities. But then I also realized that while they struggle for basic things like water, you know, water and food, they're happy and joyous, and they care for each other, and they're connected. And then I come back home and I see, oh my goodness.
Yes.
You know, the anxiety and the depression and all the things that we suffer from, but we have the basics, right? But we're still sad. And I want to kind of bridge those two things, help the people in Africa get the resources that they need while also sharing the stories and helping people with the spiritual, emotional support they need here.
I love that. So Dawn, you remind me a lot of my mother. So she had two daughters and was stay-at-home mother, very, very involved in raising my sister and I. And same thing was that identity, where do I go next? And I know so many people can relate to that, particularly when they go into university, because you go from that safe supporting, or we hope the safe supporting space of your parents, and into a world that can feel really, really unfamiliar. And to the point about what you said about, you know, these basic necessities, and oftentimes we have so much more than that in the United States, let's be completely transparent. Yeah, we tend to be the most disconnected and unhappy people. And we even see that in university campuses, where you're surrounded by a group of peers, and yet you feel more alone than ever.
Yeah. Again, the disconnect, I think, is huge. And I think in the Western world, we feel it more. You know, we move away from our families. You know, we have less support systems. And in communities where they really need to depend on each other because they don't have much, they are much more connected to each other. And I feel like that contributes to overall happiness.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think we're so disconnected from your perspective and from the things you've researched and learned?
Oh gosh, there's probably a myriad of reasons. I mean, you know, I think our social media, we have a lot of distractions. You know, we focus on celebrities and things, materialism, when, you know, the purpose of life isn't any of those things. You know, on our deathbeds, we're not going to say, oh, I wish I would have bought that Lamborghini. You know, we're missing the people that we love. And if we can, if that's the thing that we think about in our last days, shouldn't those be the most important things that we think about, you know, in our lifetimes? But I see, you know, and also, you know, we're meant to, you know, we work these jobs, we work 9 to 5, and we're filling our lives with things that sometimes we hate. You know, we don't like that job, but we're going because we have to pay the bills. And, you know, I think that we're living disconnected to what our true nature is.
I couldn't agree with you more, because so many people in my experience are walking around sort of sleepwalking, going through their responsibilities, going through their day, but they're not present. And then that's causing those disconnects in those relationships when they do have a phone conversation or meet up with a friend. If you're not really honest with yourself about how you're feeling, you can't build strong bonds.
Yeah. And again, when you're filling your time with things that you don't love, you're going to be disconnected from your own soul. So then if you're disconnected from your own soul, how can you connect with others?
Mm-hmm. That is such a good point. And when we think about university students, they're going through a period where you're trying to figure out who you are. And a big part of that is knowing your likes, your wants, your dislikes, the things that you don't want, so that you can live in alignment with your soul. What advice would you give around that?
It took me a long time because I was living in that matrix where, you know, you go to high school, you go to college, you get a job, you know, you do things in this particular order and that's the way it is. If I would have followed my heart and my soul when I was in high school, I would have went into the Peace Corps. That's what I really wanted to do, but I didn't think that was something I was supposed to do. So the advice I would give to anybody is follow your heart. You know, the logical people are going to look at me and say I'm crazy when I have a daughter that's like that. You know, she's like, Mom, you're such a dreamer. Be a dreamer. Like, think about the things you love. Follow that. Put as much of those things in your life as possible. I mean, we were talking earlier before we started filming about dogs, how much we love dogs. I've had 17 dogs. I love dogs and I've filled my life with dogs and it just makes me happy. So I don't care what anybody else thinks. That's another thing I think we get trapped into is, you know, what would my parents think? What would my friends think? What would society think? Who cares what anybody else thinks? This is your life. You're the one that has to live with your choices for the rest of your days. So follow your own inner callings.
Mm-hmm. And we get so stuck in trying to justify to our social media followers as well. And I know that I used to be stuck in that trap of justifying how I presented myself, what I did with my life, the choices that I made for an audience that was really almost entirely imaginary or fictional. But you're right. You know, that kept me very, very trapped for a long time, particularly in my university years, was I wanted to justify the choices that I made through the lens of somebody that I didn't even know.
And that's the part. If I could go back to my younger self in college, I would definitely say, don't worry what everybody else is doing. Don't go down a career path because you think you can make a lot of money. I mean, I know a guy who's a very successful lawyer, extremely successful. He hates his job. He hates his job. But because he's financially successful in it, he won't walk away from it. You know, and so again, that's not a way to live your life, is doing something that you don't love. And chasing money is never going to bring you that happiness that you think it will.
And it's easier to go down this path now because in the example of your friend, once you get used to a certain lifestyle, once you're accustomed to that, it's incredibly hard to walk away and it's incredibly hard to change. But if you can start following your soul's path a little bit younger and start asking yourself critical questions about what you want your life to look like, what you want your day-to-day experience to be, then you're not going to have to walk down a painful path and reverse it.
Right, right. I mean, I want to live my life with as few regrets, and I don't have regrets, right? Because I can look at choices I made at one point in my life and it didn't work out the way I thought. You know, I ended up getting divorced after 30 years. That wasn't a mistake. I was meant to marry that person. I was meant to have those children. I was meant to have all these experiences. So when we look at our lives as a series of things that are growing us and teaching us along the way, we won't regret any decision that we made. It's like, I made the right decision at that time for a reason. Sometimes we won't know the reason, but just trust that there's a bigger plan and just say, okay, I learned from that. Now I'll make a different decision next time.
Dawn, I love that. How did you arrive at that mentality? Because I know it's hard to get there.
Oh gosh, I think just getting old. Now, I have a very strong faith in you know, what's meant for you will always find you. I believe that there is a higher power orchestrating. I believe that like energy is neither created nor destroyed, right? And love is very real. And I know that it doesn't just go away. So whatever that is, whatever you want to call it, however you want to worship, or, you know, I just believe that there's something that's got my back. Somebody, whether you call it God or Allah, or it doesn't matter to me, the terminology you use or the books that you read. Just believing that there's somebody that's got my back that knows more than me, because they're seeing it from like a 30,000 foot perspective versus me just being in the middle of it. I mean, after just losing my puppy who wasn't even three, you know, I could question why all day long. But I think my soul always kind of knew that I wasn't going to have him for a long time because we were so codependent. It was ridiculous. I would joke about it, but it wasn't a joke. He was literally by my side. I rarely left the house because I didn't want to leave him. And so I think maybe, you know, there's a higher thing that I don't even know, but I know we'll be again together someday.
Oh, Don, you're making me emotional because like you, I love dogs so much. And another thing that's making me a little emotional is what you said about love. Because I think in university, you're starting to go through romantic relationships that are a bit more serious for the first time. And it can be so intimidating and terrifying to put your heart in the hands of another person. And I know that that's something that I really struggled with as well, whether it was a platonic friendship or a more intimate romantic situation. It's very, very hard as you're figuring out who you are to have those sort of relationships. And I love what you said about just love in general as a experience.
I always say love is why we're here. I mean, that is why we're here. And so it's the most important thing in my life. That's why I have so many dogs. Because dogs aren't love, right? Little tiny cute balls of love.
They're love personified. They teach us how to be better people.
They do. They do. So, you know, I have been in the dating world for the past 7 years. And so, you know, putting yourself out there, I've told myself, look, if it doesn't work with this person for whatever reason, either on my end or their end, it wasn't meant for me. So never try to force anything. What is meant for you will always find you. I truly, truly, truly believe that. So, you know, if somebody comes and stays, wonderful. If somebody comes and then leaves, that's okay too, right? You know, that's just the ebb and flow. There are 8 billion people on this planet, right? We can't be right for all of them. But the ones that we're right for, those are our people.
I love that. And I think it takes so much pressure off of dating because we hear a lot that dating is one of the biggest stressors now in university life.
Yeah, dating, I kind of look at it as a game. And not to belittle romantic relationships, but I'm just like, you know what? Again, the right person is going, all the things that somebody else thinks is weird about you or why are you like this, the right person is going to be, I love that about you. You know, so not everybody's going to love everything. I mean, my dogs sleep in my bed. There are so many people that are like, ew, that's gross. And that's okay. You know, but for me, I love snuggling with my dogs and the right person's going to love snuggling with my dogs too. You know, so if you look at it that way, and again, shine your weird flag so high that like your people will find you.
I love that. And I want to pivot the conversation a little because we have such a big tie and that's animals. So animals are so powerful, not only to teach us how to love and how to care and how to respect other people, but they can do so much for our physical health. There are so many college campuses and university campuses now that bring in the therapy animals to support young people because there's an incredible body of research to support not only, you know, the emotional benefits, but the physical benefits as well. Let's talk animals, Don, because I want to hear, how have animals changed and enhanced your life?
Oh my gosh. Ever since, well, my mom is not a big animal person. So go figure that all 3 of her kids turned out to be like crazy animal lovers. So do not deprive your children of things because then they're just going to go the opposite way. When I was little, she wouldn't let us have a dog. And so my sister and I would go down to a pond and catch tadpoles and we have them in buckets in our garage. And this is embarrassing to admit, but this is me. I would literally, as they were growing up and I could pick them up before they turned into frogs, I would pick them up. I would kiss them.
Oh my goodness.
I loved my tadpoles. And then, you know, eventually they would grow into frogs and then hop away. But I've always loved animals. And, you know, I've had 17 dogs, 23 cats, mice, bunnies, squirrels. I have a squirrel.
Oh my goodness.
They don't speak our language, right? But we can communicate. And I think it's such a beautiful thing to understand that like we are souls, that we can connect on a soul level. So when people are, you know, putting all those divisive things about race and politics and religion, it's like we're all here together. We are all connected, whether you're an animal or a human of a different race or, you know, gender or whatever, who cares? If we can connect to an animal that doesn't even speak the same language as we do, then we can connect to each other. I think they teach us that.
They do. And you can look in their eyes and you can see and feel so much. That's one of the things I love about all animals. I was with horses the other day and could look at them and just feel so much from them. They raise your energetic vibration and my experience to be around animals. What are maybe the top two lessons you've learned from animals? I know that this is very hard because there's so many lessons.
Right? Yeah. Well, I think living in the moment, you know, they're not worried about 10 years down the road or 5 years. They're just in the moment. They are pure joy. Watching them, you can experience the joy. Just like children, right? They're just being and dancing and laughing and running and, you know, they're just happy. So that is a lesson. Be happy, be more like a dog and love like a dog. You know, they are so happy to see you. You know, I mean, I love that. My daughters always say I have dog energy because I am. I'm happy when I love hard, and they do too. And, you know, they've also helped learn about, you know, the surrendering and letting go to divine time versus that. Yeah, I read something that said, like, if I had you for 1,000 lifetimes, it wouldn't have been long enough. You know, they teach us how to let go and to grieve.
Oh, my goodness. There's such an emphasis in those university years of planning ahead, planning your life, planning your job, planning your internship, whatever it is, that it would be so easy and can be so easy to miss out on the moments. So the first point that you gave about just like being in the moment because you don't get it back is so powerful.
Yeah, we never know what tomorrow's going to bring. Never. You know, I had a friend that just told me her friend's husband was diagnosed with either Alzheimer's or dementia. It just came and completely, they didn't expect this. They're doing what, you know, making the best of it as they go. But like, we never know. And you think, oh, I've got all the time in the world. I'm young. I've got like 60 more years or whatever. We don't know. We could get into a car accident tomorrow. You know, there was a woman in the city that I live in a few years ago. She went out for a run. After she dropped her kids off to school, she went out for a jog and she got hit by a car and she passed away. You know, do you think when she walked out that door that morning, she thought that was the last time she was leaving her house or the last time she was saying goodbye to her children? I'm sure she did not. So like, again, enjoying every moment and being present. With my dogs, I remember thinking, I want to memorize this moment. Like when I'd be like, you know, just snuggling them. Like I want to remember for the rest of my days how this feels. So like taking a photograph in your feelings. And so I do that all the time with them. Like I never want to forget how this feels.
I almost have tears in my eyes. Memorize this moment is so beautiful. Because so many times in university, you're doing something for the first time or experiencing a new emotion or a new place or a new sensation for the first time. And that's a beautiful way to capture that.
Yeah. And because I was conscious of it, I can think back to those moments where I was hugging my Whitney. Whitney was 145 pounds. So it was like hugging an adult human. And I just was like, I love this so much. I never want to forget what this feels like. So when you have those moments, memorize them. Keep them in your heart because your soul will remember it forever.
Oh my goodness. Quick sidebar. What breed?
Great Dane Pitbull mix.
Oh my goodness. I love it. I love it. That's a beautiful, loving combination. Now, Dawn, I know that we haven't touched on the humanitarian side of what you do very much. Let's kind of shift and pivot into that. How does your humanitarian work, I guess, impact your worldview?
Well, I've been a volunteer ever since I could start volunteering. At 14, I volunteered at a nursing home. Then throughout when my daughters were at school, I volunteered in their classrooms. And then when they got older, I was a big sister. I volunteered for a therapeutic school. And I like working with children a lot because you can't bring them all home. If I worked with dogs, I would have 1,000. So children are safer for me. Again, it comes back to love. You know, when I was little, I used to cry thinking about like all the animals that were like hungry. And I'm like, how could God? I'm a little girl. If I could feed all the animals and the people, I would do it. Why wouldn't God do it? And I think through my volunteering, I think that we're here to do God's work. God doesn't let bad things happen. We let them happen. And if we all just did a tiny little bit, it wouldn't be a big, extraordinary thing. When I was in college for psychology, I did a paper on the bystander effect. And I would watch video after video of people just seeing somebody suffering, walk right past. Like most people, it's the few rare people that'll be like, hey, are you okay? You know, if we all could just like maybe ask the next person, like, are you okay? You know, it would make the world a lot nicer.
And that's the courageous thing to do, is to ask someone if they're okay. The courageous thing to do is to care, even though it can be scary.
Yeah, and it's not always going to be reciprocated, and you don't do it for it to be reciprocated, because I believe in karma. I believe everything we put out into the world comes back to us, not as a punishment. But you put out good, good comes back. You put out bad, bad's going to come back. It's just the way it is. And I've seen that happen in my own life. And I just encourage people, like, do one little thing. You know, if everybody just, it makes you feel better. It's not just about helping that person. I heard Wayne Dyer say once, he said, when somebody gives to someone, not only does the receiver benefit, the giver benefits, but somebody watching that benefits. So you are literally changing the world by doing one small thing at a time. And it could just be like a compliment or making somebody laugh or seeing somebody struggling and just say, hey, can I give you a hand? My friend Portia, she's my soul daughter. I love her very much. She always is that person. She goes the extra mile. She was at the grocery store the other day. She was in the parking lot. She saw an older man fall down. She got out of her car. She went over to see if he was okay. His name, they had a cute conversation. He thanked her, you know, for helping him. But so many other people just walk right by. You know, she didn't have to do that, but she's that person that will always go the extra mile and just say, you know, hey, are you okay? Is there anything I can do for you? And like, again, if we could all do that, the world would just, it would instantly become like a heaven on earth.
I know. I wish. And, you know, everyone listening to this, even if it's in a very small way that doesn't feel particularly extraordinary to you, do it, because it does create that ripple effect and it makes a big difference. Dawn, I have a tough question for you. I ask all of my guests this question. If there were three tips or pieces of advice that you would give university age students, what would those three pieces of advice be?
One, believe in yourself. Believe that you can do whatever it is that, you know, you feel called to do. Two, do not let anybody poo-poo your dreams, because they were given to you. Your dreams are your dreams, and not everybody's going to understand them, and not everybody has to. And three, I think it's just like, again, follow the things that you love. All the passions, whether it's singing or athletics or painting or, you know, I love loving people. You know, follow whatever that is, and it's going to put you in the right direction.
Is there a quote or a mantra or something that you live your life by?
I have a lot. Oh, a lot of them, like almost anything Rumi's ever written. I love Rumi. But one of my favorites one is by Ralph Waldo Emerson. And it's a longer quote, but the last line says, to know that even one life has breathed easier because you've existed, that is to have succeeded.
That is beautiful. Oh my goodness. I love that. Now, Dawn, as we wrap up here, if somebody's inspired by you, they want to learn more about your books, your work, where do they go? How do they find you?
My website is thesecretsofbeing.com, and you can sign up for my newsletter there. I've got courses. You can find my books. I have a podcast also. I've been kind of on hiatus because life has been a little bit weird. Weird, good, and not good. I had my first grandchild in January, which is like so exciting. 2 days later, we had to evacuate from the fires. And then, you know, I lost my Toby just 2 weeks ago. So it's just been like a crazy 2025. But I'm restarting my podcast within the next month. But that's the Secrets of Being podcast. So you can find it on YouTube or any of the places, you know, Spotify, those things. And listen to some old episodes. We have amazing guests. And or find me on social media. It's Dawn Earhart Reedy.
I love it. And you can go soak in Dawn's beautiful healing energy. If you need more of her, go check out her podcast or head over to her website. Dawn, as we wrap up and end here, is there anything you want to say that I did not ask you?
I thank you for having me, that first and foremost. And I think I love to leave people with this advice. We can all make the world a better place every single day by just being kind to each other, smiling at somebody, you know, joke with the cashier. You know, don't flip off people in traffic. You know, just be kind and the world will be better and you will feel better. It's not just about making the world better. It makes you feel better.
Thank you for joining me on Campus Chronicles. I hope you found our discussion informative, inspiring, entertaining, and fun. We are always working hard to make sure that our episodes are the very best they can be, which means we need your help. If you liked what you heard, remember to hit the follow button on your favorite podcast platform and drop us a review. It helps us to connect with more students who are hungry for success. And remember, the journey never stops. Keep listening, keep learning, keep growing. See you next week for another amazing episode of Campus Chronicles.